Well, good morning out there in radio lands. What a day the Lord has made. Good morning to the body of Christ out there. This is the day that we're going to rejoice and be glad in this day that He has made. Every day is a good day when you're in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, Pastor Josh, how are you doing this beautiful Tuesday morning?
I'm doing well, Brother Aaron. It's a pretty amazing day already, so thankful for the opportunity that I get to be here, and always enjoy Tuesday mornings, that's for sure.
Yes, and we always are thankful and honored that you come in and join us, Pastor Josh. I know you had a busy schedule, and we just are thankful that you come and do this every Tuesday. And then, of course, your all's program on Sunday mornings as well.
Yep.
You and Brother Billy alternate weeks. So
that's it. That's it. So, yeah, we sure do. No, it has been a busy week so far. I mean, even going back to last Tuesday, but, you know, it's what we do. And I'm thankful for ministry, and I'm thankful to be able to go different places and be with other churches during times of worship. You know, everybody talks about revival, and then we had Brother Zach this past weekend, and he kept saying, I said, well, for whatever reason, I don't know why, Brother Aaron, and I understand the term of revival, I do understand that, but I said, I don't necessarily plan one or say this or say that. I mean, I just say we're going to church, or we're going to have a meeting, you know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
But that's me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to go different places as well. Even last night, went to a meeting last night there in Grayson County, you know, at a small country church. And of course, you think we here at Mattered out in the middle of, you know, really nothing around, but the one that I went to last night was Little Clifty, and it's back. I mean, and they had a great crowd last night. So, I mean, I was very encouraged last night. And so, just looking forward to many places we're going this week, too. So, anyway.
Amen. It's that time of year.
I guess so.
Amen.
So.
It's getting a little nippy outside, so let's just go.
Maybe we'll go to the house.
Let's go to the house of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Doing well.
Did your ultrasound thing go good yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ezra doesn't really like to be on camera, so he was hiding his face. And I think he also doesn't like people invading his domain in there. So we didn't get the best pictures of him, but it was really cool to be able to see. And he is measuring already 2 pounds and 11 ounces.
Wow.
So
we're on our way to 12, 22 pounds and 6 ounces.
So
my prediction's coming true.
He is 6 days ahead, measuring 6 days ahead.
So
what?
When is the due date? I forgot.
It's February 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, they said they'll keep it.
I remember that now.
Even though he's measuring 6 days ahead, he could, you know, it could level out or whatever. So they will keep it that unless he just gets, like, really huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most important question is, did they find the other one?
They did not.
That's
they
what I was going to ask. Yeah, that's right. He's still hidden.
No, but they did have me get up and do, I had never heard of this before, but they had me get up and do jumping jacks to get him where his arms weren't covering his face. Because he just, I mean, I think he was sleepy.
And how did Ethan process that?
I don't know. Him and his aunt were both there. My mom couldn't go. So his aunt got to come with us. And they were just laughing at me because I had to get up and do jumping jacks. And then I had to do it again.
Oh, wow.
Because even after I did them the first time, he still wanted to just keep sleeping with his, well, not really sleeping, but I guess he was just comfortable with his hands over his face.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But it was just awesome. Just the miracle of seeing his heart beat and his...
Yeah.
Just his organs and, I mean, his everything. He was, like, moving his mouth, I guess. I was like, he's probably hungry. That's probably why he's mad at me.
That's it.
Yeah.
But just the miracle of life is amazing.
Amen.
So. Sure is.
All right, Brother Josh, why don't you kick us off in prayer today?
I want to start
us in prayer, then we'll continue forth.
It sounds amazing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity we have, Lord God, to be in your presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for each and every one Lord, that has their radios tuned in this morning, that listen to us even in the next couple hours. Lord, they come as some tune in and they got to go. I just pray it now, blessings upon them. Keep them safe. We pray it now for our school kids, Lord God, today.
Yes,
I pray it now for safety upon them, Lord Jesus. And I ask you right now that if there's situations that's getting ready to arise, Lord God, that Lord Jesus, may be harmful or anything to anyone, I'll come in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I pray it now. I declare, Lord God, that you're going to intervene in every situation, Lord. I pray it now, Lord God, that our schools and that our communities and that our churches and that our regions, Lord God, will break out, Lord God, in a mighty move, Lord Jesus, of your Holy Ghost. And I ask you right now, Lord, that you move, Lord Jesus, upon this radio station. I thank, Lord God, for Brother Aaron and Sister Hannah, Lord Jesus. And I just pray it now for the families. I ask you right now, Lord, that you move upon those that are battling many things right now, Lord Jesus. Even those that are in hospitals, Lord God, I pray now that you bring them out, Lord God, with your mighty healing hand. And we just thank you, Lord God, for this great and encouraging day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, good morning to 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow, and 91.5 Hardinsburg, Kentucky, and Litchfield, Kentucky, of course, and then 98.3 Owensboro. We got some ways to engage with the broadcast this morning. The best way is texting me at 270-230-6337. We love your engagement, your interaction, your comments, your input, and you can get those in again to my text machine, 270-230-6337. You can also call the station, but that's a little bit harder, especially if no one else is in here first thing in the morning. It's just much easier to text me. And then, of course, Brother Lance Johnson, make sure it's on your calendar, will be with us December 11th and 12th and possibly the 13th. As soon as I can get back in touch with him when he's back, then I will be glad to do that. And so we'll get that information. But definitely the 11th and the 12th of December, he will be here with us. And BCA Christmas play and refreshments after. Bring your favorite Christmas dessert. That's what we're challenging. Maybe we'll even throw out a little who's got the best. I will be sacrificial and say I'll judge that. That's one thing I can judge. I don't like chili a whole lot. So, but if you want me to judge the...
He will judge anyone's except for Jeremy Stone.
Yeah, he scares me with his brownies now.
He's not allowed to enter the contest. If he wants to put a warning on his dessert for anyone who would like to destroy their taste buds that night, they can visit that section.
Yeah, so I'm still healing from the trauma of biting into a brownie with
I just
Carolina
feel
Reaper.
If Brother Aaron's a judge, I feel if there's anything cheesecake in that, that's going to have the upper hand.
I might be a little bit biased.
I guarantee it.
So that's why we can't tell people if he is going to be a judge.
That's right. That's right.
Because then it'll be all... Well, honestly, I wouldn't mind if it was all cheesecake.
That would be...
No,
I
mean,
also love it.
That would be okay. That would be okay,
different
I guess.
Different kinds of cheesecake. It would be phenomenal.
Oh, man.
And then Bethel Christian Academy has their first basketball game tonight. It's a home game. First game starts at 6:30, a little bit later than we usually start, but some time changes happened. And 6:30 tonight, our middle school team will be playing. And excuse me.
So you think I can find me one of those bleacher chairs that, like, you know, you clip onto the bleachers, but like a comfy one? Maybe I could just add my own pillows to it.
Yeah.
Because last time I sat in those bleachers for birthday party, I ended up trying to lay down in them because I was so uncomfortable. And they were like, are you going to be able to get back up? So maybe I can look for me one of those.
Either that or
I love to watch their basketball games.
Either that or maybe take you a camping chair instead.
Yeah,
or
some kind. Or maybe my rocking chair.
There you go.
I'll take
there
that
you go. That's right. That's right.
Nobody tries to kick me out.
Ethan has sent me Would You Rather. He's back in it today. Would you rather be present for the Red Sea parting or see Samson kill 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone? I'm going to go with the Red Sea.
I'm going to the Red Sea.
Just because.
So is this like the traveling machine back in time or like
yeah,
in
would
those
you
days?
Rather. I'm going to go with the Red Sea.
I'm Red Sea.
If I get to watch. Like, yeah. I don't want to, you know.
I'd go with the Red Sea too.
Whoa, watch.
Yeah, like,
no, I would love to watch you. I would love to walk right through.
I'll give you that. Be present. He did say be present.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, that's what he said. I said, yeah, that would be on dry ground. Hello. Yeah. That's what the word is.
So yeah. Josh is ready to participate. He don't just watch Samson. He wants to participate. I mean,
do you think they would let us, though, since we're not Hebrew?
Oh, man, that's a good point. Well, maybe I need to refrain from that. Okay. Okay. I got you.
He would know us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we'd be good.
I'm going with the Red Sea, too. be in prayer. We're working all the details out, but I think it's looking like a strong possibility. We will be taking a short trip down to Puerto Rico. It's looking like December 16th through 20th. And so just right after that weekend, week with Brother Lance will be, looks like maybe a couple of us are going to be flying out on that 16th and staying that week and helping Brother Alonzo and Miss Deanna down there. Really one of the greatest pursuits of this trip is to be able to just assist them in the church and help in evangelism and reaching out to the community. But also we should be getting a meeting together with the person who manages the whole low-income housing projects. And I'll be meeting with him down there to discuss the possibilities of doing a full out VBS to spring break.
Wow.
And taking a whole team, which would be several adults and actually 6 to 7 teenagers from the school would have the opportunity to go serve on that mission trip. So,
wow, that sounds awesome.
So Pastor Josh, if you're free December 16th through 20th,
I got you.
We can make this happen, sir.
I know it, brother.
We can make this happen, sir.
I know I've had a couple people ask me, so I hear you.
We can make this happen, sir.
I know you always make this excuse or that excuse, but
Miss Rachel,
anyways, just
Miss Rachel,
very very busy. And then you add pastor this year, very very busy.
It's right. So. I know it's the week before Christmas. I was actually going to try to go the first week of December, but the schedule would not allow it that week.
There's too much going on.
And so it looks like that's the week that we're going to attend.
It's one of them things, I don't know, then if you end up going and it ends up raining or something that whole week here, I will be aggravated and I'll say, Lord, I guess I missed you on that one. I'm so sorry. I'll be repenting in the altar.
Well, all I'm saying is don't say no yet.
Okay. All right.
Don't say no
yet. I did not say no yet, but anyway.
You never know.
That's right.
But no, just be in prayer for us. And then also be in prayer for Todd Mingus. He'll be heading down to Honduras. Let's see here.
I was thinking about him last night.
Yeah.
Because the minister that preached last night, he's a pastor from LaRue County, and he talked about how they go to Honduras from time to time.
2 weeks he'll be leaving for Honduras.
Wow.
He leaves the day before Thanksgiving. So yeah. 2 weeks he'll be heading down there and just be praying for all the they've increased another 2 or 3 churches this year. I forgot. Do you remember what total he said, Hannah? It was like 2,500 or 2,000 kids they're looking at coming through.
Wow.
In Honduras, I think. But it's like up to 18 or 20 churches or something like that. I think it was a lot.
It almost seemed more than that, but I know it was a lot.
Yeah, it's just incredible what Brother Todd's been able to do down there.
Now, is that during, of course, I probably said it, but is that like during the day or is it just like a couple hours in the afternoon or how does that work?
No, it's all day. Well, he goes down there, I think the first week he's just, they're prepping and ready and training. And then I think the second week, it is all out.
Of course, I don't know if they're like us, but what about schools and things like that? Is that just the time they're off, or is just school different down there? Or?
You're starting to ask questions I don't know then.
Okay. Wow. I cannot have, but I'm marking it down right now. I finally asked a question.
There's a lot of questions I don't know.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
But that's a good question. Maybe you
get your wheels turning sometime. You just ask. Yeah.
I know Brother Todd's schedule is really tight from now to then, but maybe if he can call in or something he can talk some more about it. So definitely prayer covering anybody that wants to help him financially will be able to do so. The weather today is going to be sunny, a high of 56 and a low of 41, so a little bit more chilly than usual, but it's still a beautiful time of the year. Verse of the day, 1 John 1:7, just an incredible verse here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Quote of the day, C.S. Lewis says, I love this. The holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which still remains in him.
Amen.
I absolutely love that.
It's powerful.
The holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him. C.S. Lewis.
Yep. It's often, been saying here lately, the closer you get to God, it seems like the more you repent. Because you see yourself more clearly and how you need to die to yourself. And that's what we've been on the last several months there at church, just trying to let people understand, why does it seem like I'm closer to God now, but I just seem like I'm repenting all the time? It means you are close to God because you don't want no flesh on you. So that's awesome right there.
Thinking just like Isaiah, who was a prophet of the Lord. And as we can understand, just from like an earthly view, he wasn't a very unrighteous person. He was a very righteous person. Yep. Yet when he saw the Lord high and exalted,
that's right,
he still proclaimed, woe is me. Our guest today is Miss Jeannie Shelburne's going to join us. She's no stranger to Box 2 Radio. It's going to be good to have her back in the room today. Co-host of Raise a Hallelujah alongside Miss Karen. They are on Wednesdays at 9 and Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. And so just very excited to have Miss Jeannie back in the room. And I know some of you guys will be excited to hear her voice again. She's been one busy lady for the last year or two, and I'm just so thankful that she's going to be able to make time, hopefully, to get over here today and be with us. It's going to be a great morning. Our topic today is going to be baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll be talking about that after the Kingdom Corner. We're getting ready to get into Romans chapter 11 right now, and just excited for the word of the Lord. Am I missing anything?
I believe we about got it.
Do you like powdered donuts, Josh?
Huh?
Do you like powdered donuts?
I mean, yeah,
I like them too.
I like them all right.
Jason and Hannah was very critical yesterday.
They was?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why I've never liked.
They had a critical spirit.
Do they make your mouth feel dry?
Yeah, I don't like how they make my mouth feel. I don't really know how to describe it, but I agree with Jason that I don't like the way it makes my finger. The powder gets on there and it's like.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, you think about that, but I know it's different, but a chip or something like a Cheeto or something.
I don't like that either.
Man.
Greasy.
That puts it on your fingers more so than a donut, I
that's
think.
One thing. Because Cheeto you bags. Can wash those off. The grease, it just doesn't seem like it goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Cheeto bags should almost come with like little fingertip protectors.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, Romans chapter 11. I asked then, as God rejected his people, again talking about Israel, by no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul's saying, of course he's not rejected his people. I'm an Israel. That's what he's saying. He says, I'm from the tribe of Judah. I mean, Benjamin, I'm the descendant of Abraham. Like, he's not rejected us. God has not rejected his people from who he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, and they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen.
So while Elijah's sitting here saying, they did it all, Lord. The Lord's basically saying, I've kept for myself.
Yeah.
Now, again, this gets into what people want to circulate with predestination and election. We've had this conversation several times. I do understand that God's keeping, God's saving. There is a foreknowledge that's happening. Like we've said 1,000 times, do we fully understand the concept of what's God saying here? I don't think we do. It's such a... There seems to be a roadblock every road you turn down. I'm not like saying I'm just forgetting it and just going to go with it. But this is what we can gather with certainty here, is that the Lord is saying he's preserving Israel. That Israel, he's not turned his back on the whole.
Right.
He's kept for himself a remnant. He's kept for himself a group. And so he's protected them. And those are those who he foreknew. So did he foreknow them unconditionally or conditionally? That's the question you have to answer in an election. But I think those who he foreknew, he predestined. And what did he predestine them to be? Conformed in the image of the Son. And those who he predestines, he calls. And those who he calls, he justifies. And those who he justifies, he will glorify.
Right.
That's Romans 8:29. So these are things with certainty we do know And that as Elijah's saying, all these people have done these things, the Lord speaks back to Elijah in the cave and said, Elijah, watch it, because I have 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal.
Amen.
And so now I think the important thing to note on that is whatever you see as election or whatever you see as predestination in that scripture, you still have to understand they didn't also make the free will decision not to bow their knee. It was their desire not to bow their knee, whereas it was the others but desire to bow their knee.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in scripture, God's sovereignty and man's free will coincide with each other, not contradict each other.
Right.
And we see that over and over and over throughout scripture. And even Sunday morning sermon from Eli and his sons, you know, there's even a lot going on there that get into this idea of free will and God's sovereignty and how they're friends and not enemies. And so, because I think so many people even say the word predestined, what people think is, I don't want to be saved, but God's making me be saved. Or no. I want to be saved and God won't let me be saved. That's not how it works.
No.
And throughout scripture, you will find polar opposite of that.
Right.
But you do see where God uses man's wickedness and man's evil and man's hard heart to accomplish his will.
Yeah, and you said there that it just ain't like that. And I believe verse 2 is very critical in knowing that, because even though he said God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, don't you think that he foreknew, like, even though before I came his child, he knows all. So he knew I was going to sin. He knew the things that I would commit. He knew all these things. But still yet, it says here, he has not cast away his people. I mean, he had an opportunity to cast them away, but still yet, the love of God is shed for us into the place of where he don't cast us away. And even though, and also he said, even the scripture of Isaiah there, he maketh intercession to God against, and it says against Israel. I mean, so the intercession that we make to God, I believe when we pray, you know, we think of that as prayer, and we think of that as a deep time in the Lord that maybe we do in intercession. I believe, you know, there's sometimes you may not know exactly what you're praying. But I do believe here that the Lord used others to make intercession, and it says against Israel here. So see, why would you make intercession against Israel? Why would you make, because I believe Israel, or even now, some of the people in the church are getting to a place of where maybe they don't have their mind, they don't have their focus, they don't have their attention. They're trying to mix the word with the world. They're trying to mix their life in Christ with the life of this world. And knowing that's why, hey, listen, before you get to the place where you're not of the body no more, I'm going to pray right now that the Lord would intervene in this situation. And I think it's very critical for us to understand that even though, you know, with the predestination and all of that, we are destined to be just like him. Why? How in the world can the ones here say that I am of the seed of Abraham? I am of the seed of Abraham. Guess who I'm a seed of as well? Why? Because he told Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. So I think as well as we are of the seed of Abraham as well. And I want that seed to grow. You can either allow that seed to grow, you can allow that seed to rise up, or you can allow that seed to die. Just like, you know, when you know, I think about, you know, the work that we do here and there, and I think about, you know, sowing seed. Most time in a bag of seed, there's some seed within that seed that ain't no good. But you don't know necessarily in a bag of seed what's good and what's not, because you ain't got, you know, but in the seed that the Lord has for you and me, we see the seed. But the thing about it is, in the kingdom of God, oftentimes we can see the ones that are lining up with the word of God and going to allow that seed to grow, or the ones that aren't and going to allow that seed to stay dormant. So,
very good.
And knowing that he chose us, I mean, I just can't get away from it. From knowing that, you know, that God had not cast us away. And he's letting us understand, you know, those ones that think, well, I've gone too far. Well, I've done this and I've done that, you know. But if we could just talk to them, minister to them, and let them know, hey, listen, the Lord still loves you. So,
yeah. I was just kind of looking at some reference scriptures to that, this whole portion of text here, and there's a lot. The election and predestination thing is something definitely interesting to continue to look into, as we've done for a while now. But there's just, I don't know, there's a lot there. And the foreknowledge thing still does provoke me to think deeper, because you're sitting there and you think, well, it's this or that. But then, you know, Colossians does tell us that it's not by our works, but by his grace and by his choosing that he's chose us before the ages of the earth. And Romans 9 says the same thing. Deuteronomy 7:7-8 is talking about that as well, that he chose us and loved us, just not because of us, but because of what he's promised to our forefathers. So it's just really interesting, and it's something I would challenge you to continue to look into. And the reason I'm just not making a straight statement is I don't feel like I have a straight statement yet to make on foreknowledge and predestination. I don't want to make one prematurely or immaturely and then have to come and recant it. So I would just say this is apparently what Scripture is saying, provoking unto thought. Let's pray into it, and let's continue to seek the grace of God to understand as full as we can here in the present time. So verse 5, so too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. So this remnant, again, that God's reiterating, I'm not forsaken Israel. All right, I'm not forsaken Israel. Paul said, I'm an Israel. And then he goes on to the parallel with Elijah. But then he says, so at the present time there is a remnant, and this remnant is chosen by what? Grace. It's chosen by grace. But if it by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And so now there's some interesting stuff happening here. There's a lot of interesting stuff happening in this chapter. So again, chosen by grace, not of works. Otherwise, grace, it would no longer be grace. So there are scholars who believe this is talking about, per se, just nationality, that he's talking about on a national scale, Israel with God's chosen people. The reason I feel like that may be a little bit of a cop-out is there's a lot of other verses you got to deal with this too, like Colossians, Ephesians, again, going back to the Deuteronomy 7:7-8. You've got some other ones throughout the New Testament that is parallels, and he chose us. And so there's just a lot to unpack there. And so many times it does say something to the effect of not based upon works. Now, again, let me preface all this to say that if you think grace is your entitlement not to live holy, you're missing the point of what's being said.
Yep.
I think it's like we need to bring clarity to the statement of works, that they're not doing something to earn this. So, like, there's not a sacrament that's going to earn you salvation. There's not a duty that's going to earn you salvation. Salvation is something you inherit because of the Son of God and what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, and it's receiving him. And what that does is it produces fruit and repentance in our life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're born unto good works then, that because we are born again, we get to do good works. But the works that so often Paul was dealing with was the works of going back to be circumcised, or the works of going back to Judaism, or the works of going back to, because you got to remember there's two major influences in the world today. I mean, at this time, you have Judaism, which is trying to pull all of these people back into the law, but you also have the Greek mythology going on in full force at this time, trying to pull people into paganism. And so they're trying to do all these works to please pagans' gods, and then they're also trying to do these works to please the Jewish God, Yahweh. Right. And so all these tuggings are coming in with the works, and Paul keeps coming and saying, you're not subject to those works for salvation. And but never does Paul give us an excuse not to live holy, that it should produce something in us, righteousness. 1 Corinthians, when it's talking about this, 1 Corinthians talking about that we're kept, but what are we kept in? The fellowship of Christ Jesus. And because we're kept in the fellowship of Christ Jesus, we shall remain blameless. But if we're going to walk in the fellowship of Christ Jesus, 1 John tells us we cannot be walking with darkness. So if we're going to stay in Christ, we can't stay in darkness at the same time. They're they're a dichotomy that can't exist in the life of a believer.
Come on.
You're either going to follow Christ or you're not going to follow Christ.
That's right.
And so we've got to quit with this nonsense that grace is saying, I don't have to do any works. It doesn't matter about my sin. It doesn't matter about that. Sin's never on the table. It's circumcision. It's the pleasing the pagan gods, the works trying to obtain salvation, trying to do this and trying to do be that and trying to hear. And it's the striving, okay, Titus, you need to be circumcised now. Titus, I'm not getting circumcised. I don't blame the dude. He's like 30 years old. You know, he's basically says, I'm not doing it. And Paul has his back because all these Gentiles are coming into the faith and they're being grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. And now the Jews are saying, well, you need to go get circumcised. You need to do this. You need to do this. And Paul is correcting all of this theology saying, no, you don't. It's Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
But never do you see Paul or any other New Testament writer ignoring your sin or ignoring your fellowship with darkness. You have quite the contrary.
That's right.
And so.
Or promoting not to do anything. Because they were very busy and active. Like, not busy, too busy for the Lord, but, like, busy for the Lord. All of them.
They were.
So I think it is good to talk about what works he would have been talking about.
Right.
Like, look at it contextually, because if we just read it as works of what we think it is, then we could read it as an excuse not to do anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good point.
And what happens so often, the works become, well, I need to dress this way.
Yeah.
Or I need to act this part, or I need to have this thing. No. The fruit of the Spirit that God's producing is Galatians, and all of those start eternally.
Yeah.
The heart starts to change. He works from the inside out. Holiness cannot exist if there's a wicked heart.
That's exactly right.
All right. And holiness externally does not exist if you still have unforgiveness and bitterness in your own heart.
Amen.
If you have an offensive spirit. Now, I'm not saying when I say a spirit of offense, I'm meaning that you're as a person, your personality is just offensive. You're offended all the time about something.
Right.
I don't care how you dress at that point. I don't care if at the end of the day, like, and how you dress matters.
Yeah.
It will be impacted by what's going on.
Right.
But so many people, and this is what Paul's dealing with, they're trying to change external factors while internal transformations never happen, and holiness never exists that way.
Yeah.
Holiness starts, and that's why Jesus says you pay attention to all these part of the laws, but you've forsaken the greater part of the law.
Right.
Mercy and grace, the things that's happening internally. And so he just continues to go on about the internal transformation of what the gospel should produce, and that's why he says he'll give us a new heart and a new spirit.
Yeah, you would think that over a period of years that the body would eventually realize that, the body of Christ. But still, yet we're battling some of those same things exactly here. We're reading it, and because you said a while ago, Brother Aaron, you said change me from the instead of the outside in, he starts on the inside out.
Because
the thing about it is, if you go from the outside in, there's things that just get covered, not things that get released.
Yeah.
And if he goes from the inside out, things begin to get released, things we can be dealt with, and then that's when we can really live in the righteousness that he wants us to.
Yeah. Because we were created, because we have become righteous, we can produce righteousness.
Yep.
He who knew no sin became sin so that I may become the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I can't produce righteousness if I never became righteous.
Come on.
Because righteous begets righteousness. And so what the gospel does is it comes and makes me righteous so I can finally live righteous.
Right.
Not so that I can be saved or stay saved, but that I can be predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. The gospel's there to make me into the image of the Son, because the gospel was there for him to be the firstborn among many brethren. So when he puts the seed into the ground and he resurrects, that resurrection is supposed to resurrect me as well. And that's why Paul says that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that has quickened my mortal body. And I'm made righteous so that I can beget righteousness. And then that righteousness produces more righteousness. And that's the generational double portion that should begin to come, is that he is the firstborn among many brethren.
Come on.
It's not so that you can continue in your sin. keep your filthy mouth, where do whatever you want, say whatever you want, watch whatever you want, participate in whatever you want. That's not the gospel. It's not the excuse not to sin. It is the empowerment not to sin. You have become righteousness, and as righteousness, you should begin to produce righteousness.
Yep.
And so I don't mean to preach, but it's just...
No, it's preaching, but that's his word. I mean, that's just, you know, you backing up the word, and that's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off there. I'm trying to do better about just taking off and leave, and y'all just having to sit there and watch
I'm trying
to be respectful.
I feel as if we engage good. You're good. You're good.
All right. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. According to Paul, what does tribulation produce? According to Paul, what does tribulation produce? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day. Oh, it's good to be with everybody. We never take it for granted. We are humbled and full of gratitude that you all would take time out of your morning to listen and be a part of it with us. And may grace and peace be multiplied unto thee. Amen. Well, nobody answered yet, but if you want to continue to call in, you can. According to Paul, what does tribulation produce? I think the way it's worded may throw people off. I know what that other person says, but it's not in that other book. This is in a different book.
Yeah.
And so according to Paul, what does tribulation produce? And I've had listeners tell me sometimes I talk too much, so I'm trying to make sure that I'm not jabbering. Y'all gotta cut me off.
What listeners say
what
that?
Listeners
well, I'm
say
not
that?
Gonna call them
Name
out.
Name them. Call them out. Come on, get it.
Oh, my God.
He said, won't you let somebody else talk every once
in
a while?
Oh, I know who that one is then. All right. Just the way you phrased it, I already know who it is. It's just that they're not being serious.
Yeah.
All right, goodness. All right, so.
You can tell them, say, hey, the reason I talk much is because I feel as if you need to listen much.
The words are just for you.
That's right. So, you gotta flip that question around. You know, it's about like Jesus when the disciples asked him a question, what did Jesus do?
He asked them a question.
but
there's also been people, you know, touched by going off on a little preaching tangent.
That's right.
You know, that were like, that was just for me. So
yeah.
Don't stop now.
That's it. So.
Well, let me say this.
Unless it's about bacon.
Hallelujah.
He says hallelujah to that one. oh, my gosh.
Can I tell a really funny story from yesterday before Hannah goes in the kingdom court? I'll make it short.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so.
Man, you push the buttons and you can do about what you want, brother.
I like that, Josh. Thank you. We went to E-Town. That was a completely unproductive trip because the reason we went up there, we couldn't find it. So it was a very unproductive trip. We just ate. That's it. But we had the whole family with us.
Sound like a good trip to me.
I thought so, too. Heather called it unproductive. But we get to Hobby Lobby, and we go in there and look, and that's where we can't find the thing I needed. I needed something from Hobby Lobby. I need to quit going to Hobby Lobby because it's the second trip I made to E-Town just for Hobby Lobby. And I'm starting to feel like I need to go, like, to the gym or work out or play basketball or something. It's getting a little too much for me. But nevertheless, I come out of Hobby Lobby, and I have a screw in my tire. I have had the worst time with tires lately. And so I have a screw in my tire. And I'm like, man, not again. And so I tell my wife, and I said, I guess I'm going to go to Five Star. It's a slow leak. So I'm going to just run by there, and we'll get to Walmart. I'll see if they can plug it. It's in a spot where they could. So she goes, you know, Brother Howard Varnado one time, remember that? And I remember the story. He was mowing, and a rock shot out from his mower and went through the window, and he said, oh, praise the Lord. So here we are in the car. We said, well, I guess we might as well praise the Lord for our screw in our tire. So me and Heather, we just said, oh, praise the Lord for the screw in the tire for the 15,000th time in a year. Just praise the Lord for the screw in the tire. And Cloud's going back there, oh, hallelujah. And so Cloud shouting hallelujah, and other people in the cars going praise the Lord for the screw. So finally we get to Five Star. I put the air in the tire. All right, so it's like, okay, we got, I think it's going to hold because, again, it's a slow leak. And go to the van don't start.
Really?
Praise the Lord for a dead battery.
Oh, my goodness.
So here we are praising the Lord for a dead battery, praising the Lord for the screw in the tire. We're all laughing. We're just like, what a trip. What a trip. Praise God for this trip. And Heather said, Lord, just reveal to us why we went on this trip. Just reveal to us. I said, oh, it's for the memories, honey.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, we got a lot of those today then, don't we? And so we're sitting there praising the Lord for the flat tire. We're praising the Lord for the dead battery. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to got jumper cables. I'm just going to open my hood, put the jumper cables on. And I just said, Lord, send somebody to jump
right.
This car. I don't know. I'm not going to freak out. We're going to continue to praise the Lord. I'm smiling. And then lo and behold, Justin Hatfield comes pulling around the corner. He said, I thought that was you. And he said, then I saw Nolan and I knew that was you. I said, look, Justin, I prayed and the Lord sent you.
I sought the Lord.
And he sends Justin Hatfield.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got a question, though. Of course, he jumped your van, of course.
I got it. Yep.
But why didn't you say, hey, while you're here, could you fix that screw in my tire?
Well, all right, now the story even gets better.
Because if he had his work truck,
it would have been in there.
It would have been his plugging kit, probably would have been
it
in
there. It probably
would
have been. But so we get me jumped, myself jumped. We go to town. We go to Litchfield. It's fine. That's like, I don't even lose like 3 PSIs the whole way there. So it's a really slow leak. So I get into Walmart. They're free. So they get in there. And lo and behold, whenever I got my tires, I don't even remember getting the road hazard. I actually thought I told them I didn't want it.
Yeah.
Well, I have it. So then I got the tire plugged for free.
There you go.
Justin was sent to jump my car. Walmart fixed my plug. It was just a good day. And the whole time we praised the Lord. And then Cloud was just kept going, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it was a great day.
That sounds amazing.
And Heather was trying to teach Cloud that old song. What was it called? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't care
what the devil's going to do.
He was trying to pick that up.
Roger sang that about 3 weeks ago at Madrid on a Sunday night. He sure did.
The moral and the principle of this story is that regardless of what happens, try to praise the Lord. And the Lord will send Justin Hatfield to your rescue.
That's awesome. Love it. Love it. So.
There can be joy of the Lord in the midst of trials.
Yes.
Well, that, I would say the Lord was wanting to teach the kids something about that, too.
Oh, well, Cloud right. got it.
Cloud got it. Hey, if one gets it, hallelujah.
No, it's hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Because if the kids see us freak out, you know,
yeah,
like have a panic.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have a panic. You know, they're going to do what they see.
They're going to do what they
see. Now, if something happens to them, we're going to see the Wilson kids praising the Lord.
That's right. So.
And then it might spread to the other kids. That's They'll be like, why are you praising the Lord for that?
I mean, what else are you going to do? You can't do nothing about it anyway. May as well praise the Lord. I mean, you know.
I mean, I just put my little jumper cables in the car, opened the hood, and said, Lord, you're going to send somebody. Lord, send somebody.
And he said, Uncle Justin. Uncle Justin. Oh, man, it's awesome.
Did you get to tell him the whole story?
Oh, I told him.
Wow.
I said, the Lord sent you, Justin Hatfield. He got that big old grin on his face.
I bet he did. I can see it now.
Was he by himself? He had people with him?
Oh, he had Eric and Allie with him. So, but it was good. It was very good.
That's awesome.
All right.
That's a good story.
Take us in the Kingdom Corner.
I like that. How can I follow that?
I mean, how can we follow that?
Boom,
drop the mic. That's it.
I know it. He did. He literally dropped the mic.
That's right. He did. Y'all didn't see it, but me and Andy did.
Okay. So I'm in 2 John chapter 1. Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. And so here John is reminding us what the Antichrist spirit really is, or what that opposing not just view, but it's a mindset, it's a lifestyle that wants to be against Christ, wants to take Christ out of everything, and wants to not acknowledge the power, why there is power in the name of Jesus. It's because of that he did come in the flesh. It's trying to minimize what he did, trying to minimize the cross, minimize the blood, minimize the sacrifice, because no other God has ever done that, or little g. And that's what sets our God apart when we talk about him and testify about him to other people who only know false gods and false religions. And so, but I think it's important to know that, you know, John here, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to the church, because there are going to be people who are deceivers. And in this time, there was people, there was a lot of different, there was the Gnostics, there was the Judaizers, there was the pagan, the ones who were trying to mix pagan worship with worshiping of Jesus. There was all kinds of mixture and then deceiving. But we still see that today. We still see that today, that there is so much, there are so many different religions, there are so many different doctrines, and we have to be careful. We have to make sure that to call someone brother or sister, that we have the one thing in common over everything, is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh, he died for our sins, and we have to be on guard with that, because we can't just assume that everyone who's preaching, everyone who's teaching, everyone who's serving is of Jesus. And there's so many scriptures, and here it says, you know, if someone does not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such one is the deceiver. So such one does not have Christ. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that their soul doesn't need to be saved, because we still need to pray for their souls to be saved, because many people are deceived themselves. They're deceived themselves, and that's why they're deceiving. And we need to pray for them, but we do not need to follow them, and we need to be careful. And I think it's important that he says, watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. If everyone goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And, you know, that word abide, it's a continuing.
That's right.
An abiding, I believe what he's saying here is you have to continue in the ways that he taught you and that we have taught you, the ways of the gospel, the better way. Because if you just, you know, accepted Jesus, but then you don't continue as a disciple, then you're going to fall away, because you're not going to have discernment. You're not going to know who, you're not going to be able to tell the good shepherd, a good shepherd that's following Christ from a false shepherd.
Right.
And I think that, I do think that he's talking about salvation here. I do, because if we have, you know, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If we only said the prayer, accepted Christ, but then we never moved, we never kept walking with him.
Come on.
Then that is an issue there, that we need to say, okay, are we all in, or who are we following?
That's right.
And so I think he's saying that, but then he's also talking to the ones that are walking with Christ, and he says, watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. And I think that he's speaking there also to ones who have walked in the faith and who have been working in the kingdom of God,
right,
but are on the line of being deceived and on the edge of being pulled away by these other doctrines, by these other people, by these worldly things and these mindsets that are not found in the Word. And, you know, it would have been hard at this time, because you know, I think this would have been a hard time, because they didn't have everything, all the resources that we have now, as far as the whole Bible,
right,
written out, the New Testament and all. But they did still have the Word. They had the law.
Had it. Yep.
And so I think like whatever they did have is what they needed to stay rooted in, just like whatever we have now is what we have to stay rooted in. And I think he's just reminding them here, just like we need to remind ourselves, that we have to stay the course and do what we know, follow right. what we were taught. That's just been such on my mind lately, and all throughout the New Testament, when it says, do the thing that you were taught, stay in the course that you were taught by us, the apostles, by Jesus, not just like the traditions that you were taught, but the actual gospel that you were taught. Amen. Don't stray from that. And what do we see today? The word trying to be ripped out of everything, that's Bible right. trying to be taken out of everything. And that's what is creating all these crazy thought patterns and doctrines and teachings. And that's why there's the, you know, the itching ears and the doctrines that are there to make, you know, to satisfy people's itching ears. But he's telling us here that we need to abide in Christ, and we need to focus, and we need to do this so that we do not lose what we have worked for, the rewards, that the things that we've done in a pure seeking of the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom, yep. the things that we've done to truly minister unto the Lord. We don't want to give that all up by falling away to these other right. things and spending the rest of our life being deceived and wasting the time that God's given us, so that the works that we do will burn up in the hay and the stubble. That's what I see that as, yeah. this as, because, you know, Colossians tells us to set our eyes on those things that are above.
Right.
And that, you know, in other scripture, it tells us to, you know, lay up our treasures in heaven, because that's where our true rewards are, is the things that we did for the kingdom.
Amen.
Not the things that we did for ourselves. So, but then I love that, you know, and then again, when he talks about, I do want to clear this up, and I love what my study notes say about this. When it talks about, if anyone comes to you that's operating in this deceiving, do not receive them, do not bring them into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works.
Wow.
The reason that they say that here is because when they would take people in, that was so more common then, to take people in and to greet them. That was them saying that they truly endorsed and approved of the people. Like, they were in fellowship and in a relationship with the people that they were taking in, because hospitality was like number one, like a number one priority, yeah. a very top priority. But today we can't read that and say, like, well, we can never have any unbeliever or someone, like how Pastor Aaron went out to eat with people from the Scientology.
Right.
People who believed in that. I don't believe that is what anything, what right. is, and I, even if he had them over at his house, I don't think that would have been what this verse is saying. I think what it's saying is, if Pastor Aaron would have been coming into a fellowship with them and endorsing, approving of the doctrine, approving of the false teaching, or even if he didn't agree with it, if he led others to believe that he agreed with it,
yeah,
because he's a shepherd and he's leading people either astray or to Christ,
right?
So I'm glad that we know that, and this isn't an excuse not to witness to these people. It's not an excuse to not pray.
Amen.
But it is a warning to really be on guard, because the moment that we start to question the word, the moment that we start to listen more to ministers and teachings more than we're spending time in the word, we have to be careful. And today, I think, even we look back here and we think, wow, there were so many false teachers running around. But today it's on social media. It's on it's on YouTube. It's on Reels. Right. It's everywhere. And we really do have to guard ourselves, I think.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, you talk about the house and things like that. Oftentimes, I think when, even though we live in houses and we think of our natural house, okay? But a lot of the times, I think when it talks about a house, maybe not every time, but it talks about your temple, how our bodies are the temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says something about partake in or don't allow them to get into your house,
mm-hmm.
because the thing about it is, even though the enemy says, well, if I get into your natural house, can I work my way into your house that I really want to be in?
Mm-hmm.
But see, if we allow those things to, we can either, you know, but when people come into you instead of allowing them to take over, that's your house.
Uh-huh.
So then I believe that we should take a stand and let them know where we are in the Lord. I mean, I can't help but go back also, Sister Hannah, to that verse 9 about how abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. You know, it's a continuation. Uh-huh. And I believe that you put that, that you brought that out tremendously, how it's a continuing thing that we must do. Why is it, even though that we speak that, and, you know, I say that often, you know, because I believe that there's people that are not really continuing on. They're just saying, well, it didn't happen like I thought. Well, why is this doing like it? Well, why? They always want to question God instead of just doing the things of God. You know, and we're not a people that, you know, or I'm not a person that that necessarily, you know, every prayer you pray gets answered. I believe it does in a way that he sees fit. But is it a way that my natural eye sees it? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not abiding in him, and I think I'm just putting everything against me getting the results and the answers I need from God. So I think you're either abiding right now, whether people realize it or not, you're either abiding in the doctrine of Christ or you're transgressing against it. You're transgressing against it. So I believe it's very key for people to realize that. And I believe that, you know, us three probably knows that, and many people know that, but there's some that I still don't. They battle that because they think, well, I can still do this and still do this. I can still do this and still do that. No, I said, we serve a holy God. Mm-hmm. He deserves a holy people. And so I don't want to put anything in my life that causes me to transgress against what he has taught me to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and what teaches you? The word teaches you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thankful for great men of God, Brother Aaron and yourself, Satranda, that, you know, that teach the word of God. But at the end of the day, I want the Spirit of God. I want his fullness of who he is to really reveal to me what that word is. So,
amen. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to attempt to answer the first question in 1 minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Does the baptism of the Holy Spirit happen at salvation? I think we are baptized in the Holy Spirit definitely at salvation, but I think the empowerment of the Holy Spirit doesn't always happen then either. So, like, I think there is a secondary counter experience, but like I also think there's probably a third and a fourth and a 716th, and that every day Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But is there an empowerment of the Holy Ghost? I think so too. So I think I just don't want to limit it to like I get born again and then I have this Holy Ghost baptism and then I'm just
then good. I never get filled again.
Yeah, wow. I don't want to go there either. Like, right. You know, now clearly the Bible does teach that we have a new spirit at baptism. And I think having that new spirit means we've taken upon ourselves a new nature, and that was the nature of Christ's likeness in the Father of who he is, that we are to reflect him, to be conformed into who he is. And that's what Ezekiel says. Jesus says, unless you be baptized in water and the Spirit. But if you go back to Ezekiel 36, then you're going to parallel that and see where most likely what Jesus is saying there is that unless you're born again and cleansed, that you're cleansed by the Spirit, by the washing of the blood, and you're empowered and you have a new spirit, you're baptized into the Spirit and water. I don't think that water's a earthly birth and then a spiritual birth. I think he's saying that you are born again, that you are washed, you are cleansed, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are endued with the power. So here's what I don't want to happen with this question, is that you get born again, but the Holy Spirit's not living in you until baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's right.
That's right. Amen.
And so I think that you're born again, and at that moment, Holy Spirit comes in and lives in you. He's dwelling in you right then at that moment. You have become a temple of the Holy Ghost at regeneration. And the baptism of the Spirit is not about when the Holy Ghost comes and lives in you. It's when he's endowing and you, empowering you, become witnesses unto all the earth.
That's right.
And so there's a lot there. I'll try to answer that in 1 minute for the break. But I do think it's important to note there, because honestly, I think maybe not even purposefully, but unintentionally, how I believed it growing up was you get born again and then you clean yourself up enough, you'll make yourself worthy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I want to be very cautious of that, because now we're trying to earn something. And how is us trying to earn the Holy Ghost any different than what Simon did when he's willing to pay for it?
Right.
Because then it's going to come back to us and our righteous. I mean, like us. Now, again, we've been preaching about our righteous all day.
Yeah.
But I'll never, like, Christ paid the cost, and he's made us the vessel already. That was regeneration, and he has made us a way for the Holy Spirit to come dwell in us. How can we draw near but by the blood of the Lamb?
Right.
Do I think holiness is vitally important? Absolutely. Consecration is all that. But you better believe you can't live holy or consecrate yourself absent of the Holy Spirit. So stop trying to do something absent of the power of the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost to dwell in you and out of you. He will start to produce good fruit. But if we're not careful, what we'll try to do is we'll get saved and then produce self-righteous fruit and expect God to owe us something at that point. And then we expect then the Holy Spirit to come live in us. I just don't think that's the process of what's going on with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we'll center more into the baptism of the Holy Ghost after the break, after morning manna, and we'll get back into what the baptism of the Holy Ghost really is, because I do believe in it, absolutely. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Empowerment, of course. I mean, my heart actually breaks for it when I see people trying to do this thing absent of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, I will leave you a helper. A comforter. And
amen.
And don't cheapen the walk, and don't try to do something within your own power. And so often that's what we make people do, is we say, well, you got saved, but you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Whoa. Just, I think you should be cautious there. Because then you're going to try to make somebody live this walk absent of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that's when it becomes legalistic. That's when it becomes the burden's very heavy. And that's when people a lot of times just fall away. Is because they're trying to do it absent of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So, all right. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. According to Paul, what does tribulation produce? We're still on this question. I need somebody to call in and answer this. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning. I really appreciate that encouraging word and minute there, talking about giving ourselves to God's word, really focusing on the eternal and not just the temporal, and worshiping. Worship. Amen. And again, I want to clarify one thing, that whenever I'm talking about this, I definitely understand the extent of what holiness and purity is and how important that is, but you better be careful not to try to earn something within your own ability or make a transaction with the Lord. A lot of times I think what we do, and I guess for me, so often we become transactional with God. And we leave the inheritance as a son. So we're trying to be more like a servant than we are a son. And we're trying to operate in transactions. And transactions is not the kingdom. Inheritance is the kingdom.
That's right.
And so I just want to be careful there that we're not making our relationship with God transactional. Because even I'm not wanting to live holy to stay saved or to get saved. I'm wanting to live holy because I am saved.
Yeah.
And I want to be more like my Savior, and I want to look more like Him. But also, do not be ignorant, brethren, that Galatians does say those who practice the works of the flesh, those who make a habitual habit of it, those who give their life to it unrepentantly, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, because the fruit is not there.
Yeah.
It's the fruit that's being manifested is not that lining up with what internally your confession is. And so I said this Sunday morning over and over, that if your fruit don't line up with your confession is false.
Right.
And there's just, I mean, I'm not trying to be judging.
No,
I'm not,
there's just no way.
Because I've had to look in my own life sometimes, say, Aaron, your fruit's not lining up with your confession. Either repent.
Yep.
Or, you know, something like.
No, I mean, if that's the way.
There's no other option.
It is repent. No other option. It's repent, dude. And like I say, it's just, you know, that's a word right now for the church. I mean, it ain't just about, you know, I don't know where the idea behind, well, now you're a child of God, you don't ever have to repent. I mean, Jesus, that's one of the main things that Jesus told the disciples, to go out and preach repentance. And most time, who are we preaching to? We're supposed to, I mean, most of the time, to be honest with you, brethren, most time we are preaching to the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you wonder, why is he saying preach to the church repentance? Because is the church really, have they really done that? Have they really looked at self in the mirror like you know, you say oftentimes, or like I say oftentimes, and really took an examination of our own heart? and really repented before him. So that's why it's so important for us to be filled. Because a be is a state of being, and that means you are constantly. Not just because you go to here, you go to there, you go this many times a week, you this many times. I do. I love to be in the house of God, and I've been there quite a bit in the last little bit. But that ain't be that just me being there don't mean that I'm a child of the King. It's that desire to be there. It's that desire to grow. It's that desire to, you know, being a situation of where I can always be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where His Spirit draws. Jesus said in John, He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. And I'm glad this morning that I know who the Comforter is. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know, and let me see here. This trivia question is really throwing people for a loop here.
What?
I'm going to respond to this real fast. All right, I got it. I'm good now.
Good?
Sorry, that was bad radio. I'm pretty good about multitasking, but that one threw me for a loop because I was doing a couple things at the same time. So, and again, like the danger of transactional relationship with God is we get to the point where we think God owes us something then.
Right.
And even the law of reciprocity, which is you reap what you sow, all right, we have to be careful to... If you are sowing money just so God can owe you more, your heart is not right.
Your heart not in it.
So when I sow, I'm sowing into the kingdom because I want to reap from the kingdom.
Right.
I am sowing into mercy because I want to reap mercy. I'm sowing into grace because I want to reap grace. But I'm not doing it from a transaction. I'm doing it as an understanding that what I give out is what I receive.
Right.
What I produce. And so, but if I'm doing it from a transactional, self-righteous, vain, greedy mindset, guess what I'm still going to reap from? Because again, we're only focusing on what the hand's doing and not what the heart's doing.
Right.
So you may give $1,000 to somebody in need, but if you're doing it because you have a camera in front of you and your heart's full of pride and arrogance, and you just need everybody to see what your right hand is given, you're actually of the Pharisee spirit, not of a Christ spirit. Because like, that's exactly what the Pharisees did too. They went and gave their money out, but they did it so everybody could see just how good they were. So if you ever get in a transactional type relationship with the Father, you'll get to the point where you do stuff just so the Lord can owe you more stuff.
Right.
And at that point, when does it become greed and pride and arrogance?
Yeah.
And it's just about what I receive. And Paul said it's better to give than to receive.
Come on now.
And so I just think these are the conversations that have to happen in the body of Christ more. Because we tell people, well, how do you get? You give. Well, I give because I'm sowing into the kingdom.
Right.
And when I sow into the kingdom, I'm sowing into the culture of my dad who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he always provides. It may not always be in money. It may be in provision in other ways.
That's right.
And so, and if I want to sow into mercy, I'll reap from mercy. But also, if you want to sow into greed, you'll reap from it.
Right. And I mean, that's a biblical principle that we live by, or you should be living by anyway. But also, Brother Aaron, that's a principle that the world itself, the society, they've seen the benefits of people giving and receiving,
mm-hmm.
you know, to a certain degree. So I believe it's very critical for us to understand if you want mercy, you got to show mercy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want these things, hey, and the desire that you have for anything in the kingdom of God, that's what you're going to work for. That's what you're going to go for. That's what you're going to pray for. And if I don't receive it today, if I don't receive that, does that mean I'm going to give up on it? No way. Why? Because I know that our God is an everlasting God.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? And naturally, if somebody really wants a new position somewhere, they really desire that, they'll never give up on it.
Yeah. And honestly, sowing and reaping, the law of reciprocity works both ways.
Right.
You can be sowing into good things or bad things. Romans 1 tells us they are storing up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath.
Right.
They're sowing into wrath, and they will reap from wrath.
Right.
And that's what Romans 1 warns us about. And Romans 1 also teaches us, along with 2 Peter, that God doesn't operate quickly.
Come on.
And that faith is being able to sow into something based upon truth, not just from sight. And so I'm going to continue to sow, even though I don't see the immediate response to the sowing,
right?
Because I have faith that truth is going to prevail and that facts will eventually line up with the truth. Facts is what we see now. Truth is what God's declared. And so everything that we see now is not the final truth. It's only going to lead to the final truth. And so faith tells us to keep sowing regardless of what we've reaped at the moment, because we understand the law of reciprocity never fails, that one day we will reap. So I may be sowing, you may be sowing into grace today, and you feel like you're reaping nothing but chaos and disorder.
Come on.
What the word tells you, keep sowing.
Yeah. Keep.
Because don't the facts up. Will eventually line That's up right. with the truth. Persevere, endure, stay the course. There's hope, there's glory, there's truth.
Right.
And what happens if you do it from the vain, greedy, malicious heart, you will not continue to sow because you're not getting an immediate response.
Wow.
And that's where the microwave generation, that we quit so often on the things God wants to do in the earth because we're not seeing them happen today, and we're not willing to wait till tomorrow. And we misconstrue scriptures like, you know, like, well, if he's not doing it today, it means you don't have enough faith. No, he's working in ways that are unexplainable today, preparing for your tomorrow so the day after can give great increase. But if he puts everything on you today that he has for you, he will crush you.
Right.
And a lot of times, I firmly believe a lot of churches are not in revival, not because God don't want to send it, it's because they're not prepared for it. And we just want, we want the move of God absent of the preparation for the move of God.
Yeah.
And if you get the fullness of his spirit poured out on you, you'll become overwhelmed. Or maybe his blessing starts to pour out, but your character's not developed, so your character won't keep you where his blessing will take you.
Wow.
And before long, you come crashing down because you started to steal the money because greed's too much in your heart. Or maybe his blessing or his gifting upon you, this is what's happened to the Corinth church. I know, Josh, we're supposed to be in manna, but the Corinth churches was, their giftings were taking them places that their character couldn't keep them. They became very haughty. Yeah. So in the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's telling them, you better humble yourself a little bit, because God's used the foolish thing to make the proud and the wise foolish look foolish.
Yeah.
And he's saying, don't forget one time you were foolish. Because that's what the Corinth church forgot, is that at one time they weren't the smartest cookies. They weren't the greatest in the land. They were not the most grand people, but they had become very gifted. And actually, 1 Corinthians says they were gifted in speech and knowledge. So they became very intellectual, very smart, and very gifted with articulation. They could speak with the best of them, and they knew with the best of them. But yet the Lord came and reminded them through Paul, you better humble yourself a little bit, because he brought the foolish and made them wise.
Right.
And he said, you were once the foolish, so if you're wise now, you started as foolish.
Brother.
And so what happens is our character can't keep us where God takes us if he takes us there too soon. He's got to develop the character first before we start to soar onto stages and platforms, or we'll come crashing down because we'll become haughty, we'll become prideful, we'll become greedy, we'll take lustful actions, we will not be disciplined in our self-control because that's the fruit of the Spirit. We'll go places, and before long, this is why pastors are sleeping with their secretaries, and this is why they're stealing money and having all these luxurious living, is because their gifting took them somewhere their character could not keep them, and sooner or later, sin always have payment due.
Wow.
And sin creates chaos and disorder because we put unqualified people in positions of authority. Their character couldn't keep them where their position put them, and now they're coming crashing down, and it hurts the church over and over and over. I just want to stay hidden as long as I possibly can, because I don't want a platform. I want his presence.
Right.
And I don't trust me always yet. And so I don't want the Lord to send me somewhere until my character can keep me where he puts me.
Yeah.
And I know that's preachy, but it's something pivotal to the church today. And I think we need to hear that message. I need to hear it so often.
Yeah, we all need to hear it.
You know, we talk about the Isaiah 6, you know, moment of him looking upon the glory of the Lord and saying, you know, woe is me.
Like, right.
Seeing everything in him that needed to be lined up with the Lord. And it makes me wonder, like, you know, when we lose the fear of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
how we also forget that when the Lord's glory comes, it's going to reveal everything in us, and it's going to expose everything. And so the things that we thought that we could maybe get away with are not, like, when the glory is here, it's all out in the open.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where the ones that are trying to hide behind the glory, I guess, or hide behind the Lord and what he's doing, that's when we see things start to come to the light. And, you know, he has his way. So it's not something that I want to mess with.
That's right.
I want to mess
right.
with the glory of
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't lose the reverence and the fear of the Lord.
No, there's no way, because, I mean, that's why it throughout Scripture it says we must fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the fear of the Lord, I believe, is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Aaron, many a time I say, well, Lord, give me knowledge, give me knowledge, give me knowledge. But the thing about it is, hey, if you're not going to use the wisdom of the knowledge I've given you, why should I give you more knowledge?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thankful that now we understand, just like you was saying about how we need to consecrate ourselves, how we need to repent, how we need to do all these things, because it's a heart issue. It's an issue that's down deep inside. So if we don't control that, if we don't have that, then we don't have really true holiness, true righteousness, true peace, and all these things that the kingdom of God is.
Yeah. What's birthed from an apathetic, complacent, lukewarm mentality with the Lord or relationship with the Lord is usually very shallow. It has nothing built on sand. And usually, so often, it's produced from mental ability and man-made, a man-made ability to attain. And I'm not looking for something the hand of man can produce. I want something only the hand of God can produce.
Right.
And because so often, what we see as a result in the American church today is something that man has the ability to produce within their own power, intellect, and gifting, instead of only the thing that God can produce from his glory and his in a secret place with him. And we've exchanged it. We really have. We've exchanged the power and the glory of God for very intellectual sermons, for songs that appeal to emotions.
Come on.
And atmospheres that stimulate entertainment. And we've driven this propensity and reciprocal cycle to where people come back because their serotonin levels affected out of the entertainment and the pleasure, but their hearts never changed. And that's because we've had a culture in the church that's left the fear of the Lord and the holiness and the all of who God is, and we've moved into this worship of man, and now we are worshiping creation instead of the creator, and we worship what man can produce. And if you look at it, like, look at everything we're doing in the church today. We're singing songs that are not scriptural, but they emotionally make me feel good. We're abiding by things that man has told us to do, but scripture speaks against. We're ordaining lesbians and homosexuals into positions of pastoral and bishops, and we're literally ordaining and putting people in a position because Babylon's took a root over the church. So we have all this money to fulfill. We have all these duties to fulfill. We've got 18,000 different staff positions in churches now, and we've got this and we've got that, and we got to make sure this is happening. We got to make sure we need people to fill all these. So I don't care if the person's qualified, I just need your hind end in the seat so that you can do what I need you to do, because we're using people to build ministry instead of ministry to build people. And we've got this whole thing so jacked up we don't even know which way to look half the time. And then somebody comes and calls us out and we get offended, because now you're coming up against the system of Babylon that we built in the church. And I think the fear of the Lord's about to come wreck everything in the modern day church. And we're going to have to answer for some things that we've done. And we're going to have to repent of some things. And we're going to have to get our hearts right. And we better be willing to hear the voice of the Lord before we get separated with the chaff. And so I feel like there's a real holiness coming back to the house of the Lord. But this holiness is not about, well, my pants have to touch the ground, or my hair has to do this, or I can't go here, or I can't do that. What I'm saying is a holiness that leaves us breathless and wordless in his presence, and that we're scared to do anything that's not outside. We make God very hippie-ish. We made him very loving. We've made him this. But Romans tells us, behold the goodness and the severity of God. There is both sides. He is not just loving. He is also righteous, and he is also holy. And we have to take the wholeness of who he is. And so often in the body of Christ, and I'm living here, like I'm speaking this and my foot's trembling because I understand what I'm saying, is that he's bringing a fear of himself back to the house of the Lord. And Romans 1 is literally declaring there's been a people who's got away with a lot of stuff and they think they're okay. But he stored up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath. And I think he's coming. And I think he will not be stopped. And if you think we can continue in our sin and our hypocrisy and man-made religiosity and continue going about church the way we want to do it and refusing to repent and surrender to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the Lord is about to send his axe to the root. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the vine that's cut out.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm not playing games no more
in
my life.
And if we don't produce fruit, we're cut off.
I'm done playing games.
Yeah.
This thing's too serious.
Well, I mean, you say, and this is crept in, that's crept into the church, where unholiness and that right there. But that's just a false, that's a facade of what's false. You know, how do you expose to people what's real? You be the real. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm reminded about how in order for us to see things more clearly, we must focus on the real things. And if we just always are, because the real thing, there's one. Well, counterfeit, there's always multiple. Mm-hmm. But if we focus in on one, then that will gradually get us to a place of where we want to live holy, so we can be filled.
Mm-hmm.
Be filled. Be is a state of being, which means, hey, tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
If all I'm focusing on what the Lord done for me 35 years ago, and that's all I'm ever telling you, hey, I love to tell you about how the Lord come in my life. I love to tell you that. But if all were, well, the Lord did this, but what did he do for me today? What did he do for me yesterday? Well, you know, there, Madrid, you know, I've heard the rhetoric of, you know, well, back years ago, what's happened to the church? Back years ago, this used to happen. That used to happen. Back years ago, this used to happen. Said, well, I mean, what have we done? What have you done? What have we all done? And I said, if you're always living in the used to, I don't want what used to. I want what he's doing now.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one of the sermon I was preaching Sunday morning, I guess I never really caught it. Like, I don't know how many times I read 1 Samuel. But when I was studying it, it shook me. Like, it shook me. And I don't know if you could tell it in the sermon or not, but that verse shook me to the core of who I am. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 4, when Hophni and Phinehas and Eli sitting on the throne, and it says Eli is sitting on the side of the road in his chair, trembling for the ark of God. You got to remember, Samuel was in the temple ministering unto the Lord for 12 to 14 years, roughly somewhere in there. And the Bible said he did not know God because he had not yet heard God. And he's in the temple, and he didn't know God because Eli didn't know God anymore. He had lost it. Eli had failed to raise up the sons. Eli didn't even know what prayer looked like because he thought Hannah was just one of the worthless women of Baal or Baalah. And so he's saying, you're corrupt, you're worthless. He don't even know what prayer looks like no more. Hophni and Phinehas is sleeping with women in the temple. Hophni and Phinehas is stealing the meat. Hophni and Phinehas doing all this. And Israel loses this battle in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And then that's like Hophni and Phinehas comes, oh, we're supposed to do our job. We're supposed to bring the glory. They brought the Ark of the Covenant in. All of Israel shouts. Philistines get scared. Philistines basically said, God has entered into the camp, and we're going to be slaves to them. So they said, we're going to be men and fight, basically saying, we're going to fight to the death. We're not surrendering. We're not going to be slaves to them. They were prepared to fight for the death, and because they knew what happened when the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp. The Ark of the Covenant was there. Israel was shouting. Israel was already believing they were going to get victory because Hophni and Phinehas came in. What happens? They lose the battle. Even though they had the ark, they lost the battle because they had a form of godliness, but they had no substance or power. And Hophni and Phinehas died that day. Eli fell off his throne, broke his neck, and then an Ichabod was produced out of the daughter-in-law who died during birth. And then she gave birth to Ichabod, and Ichabod means the glory of God had departed. Why? Because they were so enamored in sin. Eli feared his sons more than he feared God, did not correct them, did not put the house in order, and sin had cost Eli and his sons the glory, but it also cost all of Israel the battle, and 34,000 people died in one day.
Wow.
But they thought they were going to win, but they had no power, and that's what's happening in the American church so often, is we're going through the motions expecting the glory of God to come in the midst of our sin and rebellion.
Right.
And you go back to Isaiah and Ezekiel and tell me what happens.
Come on.
You go to Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and see what happened. And then of course, we know the ark went to the Philistines. They got their tumors or hemorrhoids, whatever you want to say. They brought it back in. But yet there was not a high priest that could handle the glory, so they put it in the corner of Israel. And for 20 years until Samuel was able to get David in the proper position, 20 years it stayed in the corner of Israel, the glory of God. I guess the question for me is, how long does the glory of God have to stay in the corner of the church until somebody picks it back up and brings it back to the house?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the holiness. And see, David did not know the ark, really, because David thought he could half-heartedly bring the ark back in. And then that's how you lose an Uzzah, whenever you disrespect, dishonor, and treat the glory of God with half-heartedness. And David finally said, I got to do this thing the right way.
Right.
David said, I can't take this out the same way it come in. I got to bring it in the way the Lord has said.
Yep.
And everything changed with David that day.
That's right.
And so there's a lot there, I know. And I'm just...
Love it.
I'm just preaching. I don't know. It's in my heart right now, but I'm stirred. I just want the real thing.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of the facade. I'm tired of religiosity. I'm tired of all the wishy-washy and the immaturity and the, I'm doing this and I'm going to take my pillow and move over here. I'm going to take my Bible and go over here because you hurt my feelings. Or, well, maybe my feelings need to be hurt every once in a while. Maybe something in here, that flesh part needs to be offended. Maybe somebody needs to challenge me. So maybe somebody needs to challenge you instead of getting upset every time somebody calls your sin out. Because I believe, I agree. I heard a preacher say this the other day, and I'm going to shut up. I'm done. We got Miss Jeannie in the room. She's supposed to be talking.
Amen.
Is this, that they said every time you reject a call to repentance,
come on,
your heart hardens a little bit more. And I said, so profound.
Wow.
Every time you reject a call to repentance, your heart hardens a little bit more.
That's right. Whew.
Well, we're not even going to take a break. We'll just go right into Miss Jeannie.
Let's go for it.
Miss Jeannie, I'm sorry. I went 1 minute over. It's so good to have you back.
You mean you weren't following the Lord back there? You were
it's in my heart.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Oh, it's so good to have you back in the studio. It's been too long.
It has. You're on a subject that's so close to me personally, because you know the fear of the Lord has left the house, and to see it just brings a grief. It's not a judgmental; it's a judging, and there is a difference, and it grieves to see how he's become a take it or leave it God. He's become a just walk in, walk out. And how could you just walk in and walk out of his presence?
Yeah.
How can I begin and find the ending place? And so the Lord, he has to do that.
Yeah.
He has to do that. You were talking about the glory in the house, and that the glory had left the house. And one time, I'll never forget it, it still shapes my life right now. Here at Bethel, was in the band and was playing the guitar, and the service was over, and the band continues. Yeah, sometimes if you're with Heather, you continue and continue. and by the way, I love that.
Yeah.
But everybody was leaving, and all of a sudden I had this snapshot view as people piled out like this down the aisles, just both sides coming to the middle, going out the back door. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm ready to move now, but everybody's gone. And there's nothing against anybody or anything like that. He was just showing me that we had finally reached a place where we'd entered in, and he was ready to do something, and we were gone. We were done. Because why? Because church is over now.
Mm-hmm.
We ended it. He didn't end it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. I'm just ready to move now. So it stayed with me, still stays with me.
Right.
And every time I see an altar call, I'm like, are we going to quit too soon?
Yeah.
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 I know for the last couple of weeks, actually probably for the last few months, the lingering and the dwelling has increased. And, this last Sunday, 30 minutes after I was done preaching, there was still weeping at the altar. I mean, it wasn't going anywhere. And I agree with you, Miss Jeannie, because I've got to the... I try to be very pastoral, but last Sunday I said, I don't want anybody talking in this sanctuary on your way out. Like, if you need to talk, you go to the lobby or in the back, but I don't want anybody disrupting what God's doing up here. Don't dishonor the presence of the Lord like that. And
I don't say you should do me. Nobody should do me, okay? Because I really do things wrong sometimes. But Not too long ago, I was in a service that I was speaking at. And I said, if you came in and you're in a hurry, if what's on your mind is, I've got to go, I've only got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I need you to go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, why? Because I'm not going to tell the Lord, we want you here.
That's
we
right.
want yeah. you to move in power. We want you to meet the need today. And then be so loose that I don't have time. I can't stay.
Yeah.
I can't stay. There's nothing more important. If Amen. You, especially if you came in the house for healing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You came for something. You came to be delivered. You came. You said, I need him to move in my life. Will y'all pray for me?
Right.
But you can't stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's all these things are missing because we don't see him as the one. We see you could pray for me and everything will be okay. We don't see our part of pressing into him.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
So I'm at that. One of the places I'm at.
That's amazing. No, that's a great place to be at. I mean, and I don't know why, Sister Jenny. I mean, of course, I see what you're saying about you playing up there and seeing everybody go and, like, leaving the presence of God. But I don't know why, but it's like it spoke to me, too. But also, as people are leaving, you know, just as us walking out of maybe the presence of God and us saying, okay, I'm ready to move now, all right? But I'm thinking now where you're going is where I need to be. And now I'm ready to move because you're moving.
Amen.
And so I kind of got Amen. That. I don't know why you can look at it both ways. And
oh, yeah.
I totally understand.
Because we have to leave sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because our fields are white. Labors are few.
Right.
All right. So for whatever reason, Trina, when she began to see that, all of a sudden, wow, I'm ready to move because the people are moving out. Mm-hmm. People are going out, and you know, but I mean, I know I just
I'm
you know,
great, I hear you.
You know,
and I tell people about how at church they say, listen, we don't have no time schedule here. You know, I mean, like I say, Sunday's an amazing day. I love Sundays. I mean, but it's not about how many hours you spend at church together. It's not about that. But I said, listen, I love what you said, because I'm probably going to use that. If you only got 20 or 30 minutes, go ahead and leave now. It ain't going to offend me. Just go ahead and go. I promise you, I'll still love you. Come back next week. But I said, we're not on a time slot here. Everybody says, well, I've been in church this many times this year. I've been in church this many times this year. You know, all right, then let's go with it. Sunday, I was at church at 9 o'clock, you know, Sunday morning. Left at 12:30. I was back at church at 5 and left at 8:15. So what I'm saying is, it's about what you do for the – it's not about the hours you put in.
Right.
It's about
right.
the heart behind.
It is.
Because
exactly
I would
that.
Rather have somebody focused in on the Lord for 30 minutes than be at a church for 6 hours like I was Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In the two services.
Amen.
But I'd rather somebody be focused on what the Lord wants them to do for a few minutes rather than just being there just to be there, mm-hmm. just
see,
to see what's
not
going
being
on.
So, don't be so quick. Mm-hmm. You know, within myself, I'm like, Lord, are you done? I mean, is there something you want to do? Is there still somebody you want to speak to? Is there, you know, when we're just making we're lingering in it, we're waiting on him
yeah.
to have his way. And so many times we don't, I don't know if y'all heard Worthy News this morning, if anybody read it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, he talked about a cricket in the middle of New York City.
Yeah.
The guy said, I hear a cricket. The guy said, how can you hear a cricket in all of this? You know, there's cars and horns and people and I hear a cricket.
Wow.
You know, what's he saying? He said, he trained his ear.
Wow.
To hear from the Lord.
That's
see?
Awesome.
He trained
yeah.
to say, wait a minute, I hear
that's
him.
Good.
I hear him.
That's good.
How could you hear anything in here? I hear him.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
Come
awesome.
On. Yeah,
I love it. Man,
I love
that's
it.
Amazing.
That affected yeah. me the same way.
That's great.
yeah.
That is awesome.
I know there's so many times that I'll go up to the pulpit on that last song or something like that, you know, like you're the transition out. But I'll just, now I have to close my eyes because. I'm not one of those that think you always have to close your eyes, but I have to close my eyes or I'll start to be led by people.
Mm-hmm.
And so often I'm not looking at people.
Come on, Jeremiah.
I just need to, I close my eyes because I need to see, Lord, what are you doing? Like, do you want us to sit? Do you want us to go? Do you want us to train? Because I have no problem staying there, but I want to be led by the Spirit. But
right.
so often, if I open my eyes and look at everybody, then I might see the crew over here that's, all right, 10:45. Mm, it's time for this, and it's this, and
I gotta go.
I just, and then there's times where like we're just gonna linger, and then there's times the Lord's just taking over, and there's times that you know you do kind of get that okay, going to the Word, like just being obedient and led, but I couldn't agree more with what you're talking about, just the quick. We try to move too quick. And, you know, one thing I'm – and even with like our teaching and our discipleship, we try to do everything in one night sometimes, and sometimes we just have to be sensitive.
I'm guilty.
And you know, even Paul, like Paul said, Paul stayed for 3 years teaching them of the way. Almost every afternoon he would go and teach them for hours of the way. And to me, it's like we have to understand this thing is the Lord doing a deep work and a holy work isn't always a quick work. And we have to restructure life sometimes, which gets uncomfortable, and we have to, but I think what God's doing now is the more I give myself to him, man, it's no offense. Like I love basketball and everything, but like, I don't even know what UK does nowadays. Like, I don't even know who's good in the NBA. Like, and it's not because I think it's a sinful to do that. It's just like, my heart's priorities are so shifting. And I think that's the holiness and the weightiness of what God's doing in the house is, and I'm not condemning anybody that plays video games or watches games, or I'm not, that's not me. Because I'm just saying in my own life, I feel this deep work going and this hunger and a growing hunger for the move of the Spirit to happen.
Me too. Me too. You know, and to go along with what Josh said there, you know, it can spill right on out of the church. It's not a really does. We do leave sometime.
So, I got you. Yes. Yeah. I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
We have to. I mean, you know. But there's a place where it goes out the door. He's right with me now, and we're going. Our steps are different.
I got you.
We're walking a little different now. Why? I just come from his presence. I just come from the word, the fellowship. Right. I'm edified.
Amen.
Somebody corrected me. Oh, man, I'm in right place, right? And but you know, he's talking about spilling out in the parking lot. Brother Ron, one time years ago, when I was just visiting here, I wasn't coming here, and I was out. The service was over, and you know, there was probably still people around, but I left, and I'm out in the park, and some lady come running out in the parking lot and said, "He's calling for you. He wants you to come back." And I'm like, "Okay." And so I go back in, and he spoke a word that changed me over my life, and he said, "But you know, there's one thing." I said, "You don't have to say no more. Don't say no more. I already know what this is. God has so prepared me for what was about to happen right there that I didn't have any trouble receiving or responding." You know?
That's good.
It changed me.
Yep.
It changed me. So don't be afraid to run to the parking lot.
That's right.
It's the service is still going.
Yeah.
If he wants you, he'll chase you out there too, right?
That's right. That's
that's
right.
Good, Jenny.
I've chased people before.
That's right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Probably because he chased me.
But I think what you're talking about, Miss Jeannie, whenever, you know, the Lord spoke that to you, is some people haven't got to that place yet where they got that word, where it really set in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I pray so much. I'm like, Lord, whoever you're speaking to right now, let them hold on to it. Let the seed take root while they're here. Don't let them leave without it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you got that, you know, but I think part of the Lord speaking, I'm just now starting, is the ones who never entered in that whole time, because some might have already entered in, but some that it was a divine appointment for them to be there may have never. And you know, I'm thankful that the Lord's sovereign, and you know, he has grace and a plan. But that's powerful.
Well, that's where, you know, that's where we count on our pastors.
Yeah,
we count on the teachers, you know, to compel people to move forward, to go further than you ever went before, you know, to just like Paul said, I'm leaving everything behind. What was he leaving behind? It wasn't his past sinful life. He was leaving behind the things that he fell short of in ministry. Maybe he wasn't right where he needed to be yet, but he was pressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we know he got there because he said, "I finished my race."
Mm-hmm.
I finished.
Amen.
But over there in Philippians, he said, "I'm pressing."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm in pressing mode right now. I'm not leaving yet.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly
Amen.
Right.
I love it. Amen.
I love it.
All right. Well,
Whoa, hang on.
Okay. I brought that out of the parking lot. I do know what that is.
I was going to ask about that hammer.
You bring it this morning or not?
No, I rescued that hammer.
All right, then do you have something behind? I mean, there's a reason or not?
I didn't, but I can take
you
this hammer.
Now.
I can bring it down.
Okay.
I can do it.
All right.
Okay. I was meditating. I didn't know if I was going to get to bring this or not. Do I have time?
Absolutely.
Well, you do.
I didn't. Somebody.
I mean, you got time for four closings because we got 15 minutes. It's normally what I do
bring
anyway.
Put up on one of your Bibles because I left mine out there. Philippians, the first chapter. I was reading there this morning. And, I'm a firm believer. He said, my sheep know my voice. And if you'll make time to sit down in his presence, he's going to talk to you.
Mm. Yeah.
He does never fail me. I don't know about you guys. It's not that. And no, everyone can do that. Everyone can come to that. And so this morning as I was reading, and as he just gives me a little bit of, look at that again. Look at that. And mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden he starts showing you what he's saying. And this is what happened to me this morning. And I said, Lord, if I get a chance, I'm going to say it. So let me find it. Here we go. Verse 27, Philippians 1. Let your conversation be as becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving. Well, that's one word that leaped up. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. So there is a effort has to be put forth here. We're gonna have to press into something.
Mm-hmm.
But then listen here. This is the part that he arrested me on. In nothing, terrified by your adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
In nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which for them, it's an evident token you're perishing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh! But to you, it's salvation, and that salvation is of God. Look, we are given, I hear it, I don't know about we, I won't say we, I hear a lot of how the devil is attacking and the devil's doing things to people and they come in, people are beat down by their circumstances. Look, you just need to tweak it just a little. Just move it over just a little bit. In nothing, be terrified by what he's been able to do because it cannot touch your salvation that's in God. And that word salvation, you know, it's all encompassing. It's everything. It's not just salvation, go to heaven when you die, but it's heaven began already. The kingdom of God is within you, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a healing and deliverance and breakthrough. Look, you're about to get some wisdom about where you're at if you'll just turn it just a little bit over. Amen?
Amen.
You're getting ready to get I'm a firm believer in God getting to you what you got to know. Mm-hmm. He will get it to you. So don't be terrified by what happens in your life, what's coming at you, especially when you know for sure this is the work of Satan. This is his domain. That's what he does. He said, don't be terrified by that. Why? If for him, it's going to be the fact that you're not terrified. It's going to cause him to go, I'm done for. I'm done for. Why? Because my salvation will be enough. My deliverance from God will be enough.
Amen.
What he has given me, it's going to be enough.
Amen.
And hey, he's going to be wisdom for me.
Come on.
Here
man.
It comes. My word's coming. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he speaks to me that way. And I know he does. Y'all can tell by the look on your face. Hey. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but whatever this, especially when we're talking about pressing into his presence, look, wanting to be in his glory. Look, out of there comes direction.
Absolutely.
Out of there comes comfort. Out of there, you can be delivered and not even know. I mean, mm-hmm. You're like, wait.
That feels lighter.
That's right, yeah.
I feel lighter.
Yeah, something's up. All right. So I was changed over there 2 days ago. I'm just now getting hold of it. Yeah. But God, why? Because here's what he told me a long time ago. You know, you draw near to God.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on now.
He'll draw near to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's what he said. Ain't no way nothing happens.
Yep.
Wow.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Something's going to
right.
happen.
Amen.
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 If you're in the presence of God, something's going to happen. That's for sure.
You better believe
Amen.
It.
Amen.
So I think if we realize what you're talking about, you know, if you knew that the wisdom the direction, the power, understanding, everything that you was going to have to do, have to have, was going to come out of this moment, this encounter that with God. You wouldn't be in no hurry.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I ain't leaving till he tells me what I'm going to do.
That's it.
Yep. I ain't leaving till I feel his presence again. I'm not leaving till the power's on me to walk different when I leave.
Mm. Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Absolutely.
And you know what? You can do that in your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Thank God you can come do it in a house with a bunch
Amen.
Of people.
Amen.
And so you don't want to you don't want to forsake that, but you also got it right there at home.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the glory filled the room. Come on, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at verse 27, too. I'm going back and forth here, Miss Jeannie. Because I'm looking at it, and I may, that's the ESV, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, that we're doing this together,
Amen.
That we're walking side by side, advancing,
glory.
Staying there, fighting together, going there. The enemy has no holes. The enemy has no cracks. We're becoming fellowship. You know what? First John actually talks about that we're coming into fellowship with each other, that we're fellowshipping with each other as we fellowship in God. Actually, it's our verse of the day, First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sins. Being in the light, you're in the light, so we're both in the light.
Come mm-hmm. on.
So now we're sharing a partaking together in the holy divine nature, and we're walking together. And when we walk in unison together and we stay the course and stay in faith, our opponents will know that destruction will not come, because when the body of Christ advances, no gates of hell will prevail.
That's exactly right.
Hey, and this goes back to what y'all were talking about when I walked in, the holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light.
Yeah.
What is that? That's exposure, brother.
That's right.
That's mm-hmm. staying up. I'm not going to let nobody else find out except
Come on.
Him.
Come on. Amen.
Hey, I don't want him to come in here and go, Jeannie, and unveil
That's
what
right.
I've been hiding. I'm going to take it right on in there right
yeah.
now. Me and the Lord's already yeah. went through that. You know, I tell this story, but my father, my earthly father, I ain't saying this was right, but he wasn't very concerned with what I'd done wrong as much as he was concerned if somebody else brought him the news.
Mm. Wow. I got you.
If I get to Dad before you do, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, hey, that's good.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So we know that if we go to the Father, that's what he said, that Satan was the accuser of the brethren. But if we've already took it to him, we've already
yeah.
brought it to him.
Right.
You know, he said, I already know about that.
Yeah.
That's took care of.
Yeah.
Everything's square there. Because we've got the blood of Jesus has uncleansed me of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then we change.
Yeah.
We don't continue.
We don't continue. We're not looking for a way to get by, go get cleansed. We're looking for a way to never have to go in there with that again.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. And that is 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not have to be judged by God, because we're judging ourselves and
Amen.
We're exposing it before the Lord, and we're asking
yeah.
forgiveness, and we're repenting and turning. That he said, but when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned among the world. So
mm-hmm.
the Lord will judge us sooner or later if we don't judge ourselves first.
Yeah.
But he's trying to say, hey, you should probably judge yourself so the Lord doesn't have to judge you.
Right.
And repent then, before the Lord has to come and throw you out, and not throw you out of the body, but as Miss Jeannie says, kind of throw you out in front of everybody every once in a while. Sometimes yeah. he's got to wake you up. But if we would judge ourselves,
right?
1 Corinthians 11:31 says we wouldn't have to be judged. But if the Lord does have to judge us, you better believe he's coming with discipline,
mm-hmm.
because he's trying not to get us into sin unto death.
That's right.
And
it's
so,
a good thing.
Yeah.
Man,
it's a good thing
that
to
word
be.
Just crushes condemnation, don't it?
Listen, here's what I say. But my prayer in the morning is, Lord, don't let me by with nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to get down the road here and find out, oh, I was sinning all along. No, I don't want to. I want to get it over here at the beginning. Amen.
Yeah, so you don't want to wait till it has to burn up in the hay and stubble.
Yeah,
It'll
yeah.
Be like, uh-uh,
yeah, that's a little hot. Right
you
there.
Don't want to suffer a loss. Huh?
But it's good. It's good to be corrected by the Lord. It's a safe thing to be corrected by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I do cherish it, even though it breaks me sometimes. It does not crush me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes back to James being a doer of the word, not just a hearer, looking at the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of liberty.
Right.
And seeing Christ and the word and all of its beauty, and that being your standard. Mm-hmm. And saying, if it's not lining up with that, I've got to repent.
Right.
I can't just hear it. I got to do it. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much there. That's why I love you, Miss Jeannie. You just come on here and you get all fired up. And
yeah, I was all fired up, too.
The flow.
Joy that she does it with. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to have to blame it on the Lord.
Yeah, she smiled.
We're going to have to.
She's saying, the Lord's gonna discipline me, and he's going to fuss at me. And the whole time she's doing it with a smile on her face going, yes!
Hey, that sounds like a story we just heard earlier.
That's right. That's it. That's it. So
rejoice in the suffering.
That's it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I was going to read the scripture out, but in Philippians, in this particular Bible, what kind of Bible is this?
King James Version.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see my scripture then. Hey, that ain't right. But I must have overlooked it. But it said,
Where are you at, Miss Jeannie?
I was looking for where he said that. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. See, we got to go beyond that.
Yeah.
We do. But also to suffer for his sake. How do I suffer for his sake? One of the ways you suffer is, he said, take up your cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if I was going to fit this in or not, but it looks like it's going to fit.
It's all right.
Take up your cross. And as I studied that here a few weeks ago, it meant to pull up stake. That actually means that take up your cross there is to pull up your stakes. What, it's the place of self-denial. You're going to pull up everything you've ever been, everything you ever was, everything you ever trusted in and counted on. You're pulling up stakes to follow him.
Yeah.
And in the following, that's in the self-denial, he said, you'll also suffer. How am I going to suffer? I'm going to have to give up who I think I am, what I think I have to protect.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
And then I'm going to what? I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him.
Wow.
And the gospel will bring a suffering. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the self-denial is the self. It's the bigger picture here. Because that with the persecution is where the suffering comes from the gospel. But the suffering, the personal suffering of taking up your cross.
Amen.
Is to finally say, I ain't going to have my way here.
Yeah.
I'm going here. So what do I know? I know today, no matter what comes my way, I will forgive it.
Right.
I took up my cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? I pulled up that stake. That's over.
That's right.
Amen.
And why do we pull it up? We pull it up, I think, Miss Jeannie, because, I mean, you don't want nothing that's not of God to take root.
Yeah.
So if you pull it up,
pull
get
the roots up.
Mm-hmm. You let them out on the ground, let them dry
out. That's right.
And
that's
fade
right.
Away.
There's no bitterness going to
right.
set up in here, right?
And why do I do that? It's not that, and we tell people that we got to die. That don't mean we got sin coming in, but that means we don't want no root to take a hold of our life, no matter what that is. What if it's somebody done me wrong today, and I didn't think nothing of it, but it was in there. You know what I'm saying? It started to grow. And a lot of times, you know, people were saying this Sunday, said a lot of times when people fade away, what do? They fade away. It's a slow fade. You know,
that's
that
right.
old song that it's slow
mm-hmm.
fade when you give your life away. And I think the remainder of that verse says people never stumble in a day because it's a slow fade.
It's a slow fade.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's what happens. I remember the time when I'd done an analogy of flashlights and stuff, and all of a sudden I done a wound up flashlight and I set it up there on the pulpit. And after a while I turned around and I said, that light ain't on. Did anybody actually see that light go off? And we had probably 20, 25 people there. And it's like, no. It's like, why didn't you see it go off? Because it was slow fading out.
Mm-hmm.
And when it actually went out, you didn't see it. But, I mean, that's so awesome. I love it.
That's right. And it still goes, you know, these are things that lead to holiness.
Hello.
I'm bringing y'all back to where you were.
Come on.
Huh? But that's what leads to it, is these little things that these things we overlook, or we say it's no big deal, or no, that didn't bother me. You better get to dealing with that.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
That's right.
But my heart is to get in a day where I already know, before this day ever starts, me and the Lord's already talked this morning, I know what I'm going to do.
Come on.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen yet. It don't matter.
Amen.
I already know what I'm going to do.
Glory.
Hey,
hallelujah.
I'm going to find the joy of the Lord. Nobody can be that happy. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
It's not about being happy.
Tell them.
Like, you don't know what my life's like at the house, but I know this. The joy of the Lord ain't changed. It ain't changed. So right. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to walk in the love of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to forgive where forgiveness has to come. It's going to happen. It might take me a second. Wait a minute. It's going to be a 30-second delay right here. But it's coming. It's coming.
Love it.
Lord, let me catch my breath for a minute. All right. All right. Now I can forgive. All right.
You got it. Woo.
Praise awesome. God. Praise wow. God.
Yep. Amen. Well, we're out of time. It flew.
Yes, it did.
Miss Jeannie, it was so good to have you back.
Yes,
in
it was.
Room. So good.
Good to be here.
Again. Let's
good
not day. Take make it as long as next time.
That's all right.
All right. And so we
yeah, because I try to say too many things at once.
That's all right.
And you wait well, too long. I got it all stored up.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
You've been in great, then.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just like me.
I was thinking that.
I know. I'm trying to get better. I feel we haven't got to Mana on morning Mana for 2 weeks now. I feel bad, Josh.
Okay, so why? Search up Josh Milburn
you're all right.
on Facebook.
That's fine. That's fine. Hey, you're good, man.
And you will find the morning Mana.
Go on, do you a 2 hour one. Go
I'm
ahead.
All right. I'm
hey, we can
right.
put it on our Facebook, too.
Yep. Yeah, oh, we man. Did.
That's fine.
Yeah,
it's been a great morning.
Yeah, yes. 2 hours with Josh Milburn. Well, it'll work.
I get a lot of hours with me throughout that church. They don't want no more, I tell you
Well, we love you guys. We love you, Miss Jeannie. Thanks again for coming on.
Yes.
Blessings to you all. Have a great day. Listen, obey, follow the Holy Spirit. He has given you the power to do great things for the kingdom. We love you. Be blessed.